You're listening to St. Pius X Catholic Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you for joining us.
He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. And thus we begin our Triduum this year. Obviously tonight, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, tomorrow, Good Friday services, and then, of course, our Easter Vigil. And as we come to this Holy Thursday, it's generally encapsulated or described as being a celebration of the institution of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and what that of the Eucharist as well. And so there are only two liturgies today that are permitted. The first is the Chrism Mass this morning that we had at the cathedral, the blessing of oils that we will use in sacraments throughout the year, and then tonight, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. And so this morning we had the Chrism Mass. The bishop gets to tell us, priests, how we can improve. It's a homily directed to us. I always love it. And then, of course, this day is the anniversary, I guess, of my call to the priesthood. I was very blessed that I was called to the priesthood, and it happened in the old church on a Holy Thursday. Praying after Mass, I got a very much a real sense of call, and I am blessed today, you know, some 20-some-odd years later, to have received that priesthood of Jesus Christ. And so we think of the old church being very special to us. And by the way, we do have a dedication. The bishop is coming May 18th. We'll be ready to dedicate the new building. Right now, we're punch listing and doing appointments. And so mark your calendars. And like I said, the bishop will come. He came last night in preparation for Easter. The end of our Lenten season is actually tonight at sundown. For those of you who want to know, I would not recommend Heavenly Hash and Gold Bricks begin now. Let's just kind of wait. Good Friday is tomorrow. And then we have our Easter Vigil. But we had 10 priests here for confession last night. How beautiful. 500 plus people came to confession. Bishop was in his confessional. He was the last one to leave. And the only reason why I say that is I'd mentioned, don't go to that confessional if you don't want to go to the bishop. A lot of people went to that confessional. So he was here for 3.5 hours. God bless him. And the other 10 priests who were here for many of them as long. And so we think of Lent coming to an end this evening. And it's important to recognize what Lent is. You know, on the third Sunday of Lent, our opening prayer, the collect, what we do at the end of, not the Gloria, because we don't do that during Lent, but at the end of our introductory rite, I'm paraphrasing, but the prayer is to God, and it says, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin. A remedy for sin. And so Lent is the practice of removing sin from our lives and to taking that remedy in prayer and in almsgiving and in fasting. And so with sin removed, though, we still live in a fallen world, right? The effects of sin are still here. We call those the temporal effects. Even if we're forgiven, then the effects of that sin still happen. If someone commits, let's say, the sin of assault and hits somebody, they may be forgiven, but that other person's face still hurts or wherever they hit, right? And they have to recover. So we still have the effects of sin. And so we think of God made the world all good. Sin enters the world. And when sin enters the world, so does suffering and death. Suffering and death still remain. Can't take them away or we lose our freedom. And we're not able to love unless we love freely. And so we think of those temporal consequences and we come to tonight and we think we just finished Lent. And now we have a spiritual exercise. Yes, it's the institution of the Eucharist. But you know what's kind of weird? Our gospel reading. It's kind of weird for tonight. We're celebrating the institution of the Eucharist, and it's the one gospel that does not have the words of consecration in it. Right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body. This is the blood of the covenant. Drink. That's not in John's gospel. And this is Holy Thursday. So we have to come to why. Why? And it comes to what we are really asked to do tonight. Because the first step in being able to follow Christ is that we have to offer ourselves to Him. I just mentioned that we are free beings. God has already loved us. Now we have to offer our lives back to Him. And indeed, you'll hear this in the Eucharistic Prayer 3 tonight. Right after the words of consecration, there's a short prayer, and then we hear these words. May He make of us an everlasting gift to you. May Jesus make of us an everlasting gift to God. And so, Jesus wants to make us an eternal offering. May He make of us an eternal offering to you. That's what we pray for. That's what we're doing tonight. And so, the focus in our gospel reading is on what Jesus did. Last Supper, and then He washes feet. And Peter objects. And Jesus says, you have to let me serve you. You have to let me serve you, or you won't get to heaven. And so when we think of what that means for us is we have to let Christ serve us. And then He serves, and He says, I have given you an example or a model for you to follow. And so tonight what we're asked to do is to allow God to make of us an eternal offering. And we offer ourselves to Him. And we think of the garden. We have the garden afterwards. So we're going to wash their feet to remember in a tangible way what Christ did, what He's here. He's here to serve us. He loves us, and He'll love us to the end, right? We heard that at the beginning of the gospel. And then afterwards, we're going to have adoration over in what we'll call the chapel for now, the choir area. And we're supposed to do what Christ did in the garden. Not like the apostles, but like Christ did. In Luke's gospel, we know the words. Father, let this cup pass me by. But not my will, your will be done. And as I've mentioned many times, and it's always worth repeating, God's will is not the way we think of it. God's will is His plan of salvation. Or salvation. Every time we see God's will in the Bible and mentioned, you can substitute the word salvation or plan of salvation, and it works. And so Jesus, what He's saying in the garden is that, not my human desires, let this cup pass me by, but your divine will be done, your plan of salvation be done. And indeed, we are called to that very same thing. But we can't do it without His help. We have to let Him serve us. And He serves us first and foremost in the grace He gives us in the Blessed Sacrament, the perpetual memorial that is always here with us and always strengthens us to make that offering. Because if all of us have any sense of humility, if you think of what Jesus is saying, your will be done. Anything? Anything? I can think of some deal breakers where I would lose faith and trust in God. I wish I could tell you that I've made that prayer 100% before, but I never have when I really think about the imports of the words. Whatever you want for me, God, for your plan of salvation, be done. Anything. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. We can't do that on our own. We need His help. We need to spend time with Him. And we need to make sure that we ourselves can make that offering, but knowing that He is with us and He will serve us and He will give us the grace that we need in the Eucharist, the sacramental grace to do what He has done, a participation in the life of God here on earth. And so tonight, as we think of service, we think tomorrow will come. We'll talk a little bit more about the Eucharist tomorrow. I said we're going to talk about all the way through, but I think you're seeing where Lent's ended, and now we have to look at Easter and what that looks like. It includes everything beginning tomorrow about how we handle suffering and about how we learn to love and love to the end. I had a few looks when I said that living Easter is much more difficult than living Lent. And indeed it is. Because if we begin with that prayer in the garden, then we realize, wait, I'm willing to do anything for him if it brings salvation to the world. My part in being a little Christ. Father Bordelon said last weekend a line that struck many of you, a faith that demands nothing offers nothing. Christ demands that we follow him. Christ demands that we give ourselves over to him, but Christ also serves us and gives us the grace that we need to do so. And as we think of the strength that we ask for in God, and we renew that tonight, then we'll see Good Friday, then we'll see Easter Sunday, and see what that looks like, the challenges, the demands of discipleship in the crucified body of Christ and the risen body of Christ. And we pray that we will be able to do so in a way that brings us closer to him, realizing that we are works in progress, that we never get depressed, that we never get discouraged, but that through his grace, we can become like him in his image and likeness and love as he loved. And so we'll now move into the washing of the feet. One thing that I would mention is it's always good to concretize these things. For me, in my priesthood, I'm called to serve you. So we have representatives of the parish and I wash their feet. But it reminds me that I've given my life for them and for you. And for husbands and wives, you've given your lives for each other. It's in your wedding vows. That's why it's a sacrament. For parents, you give your lives for your children in service to them. All of us should be able to pinpoint, who do we serve? Who have we given our life for? And it's love of God, sure. We've given our life to God. But what for? How does that manifest itself? If we're not married, if we're single, is it community? Is it family? Is it elderly parents? Where have we given ourselves? And as we wash feet tonight, I'll certainly be recognizing that and reminded of that. But all of us maybe, as I'm washing and you guys are reflecting, can maybe think of how do we concretize that and recognize the grace that God wants to give us to do it all the better. And let's pray that we do it well. And then us tomorrow, look and see what Christ gives us in the Eucharist to handle the sufferings in life tomorrow, to handle how to love, which sounds easy, but is much more challenging when we have to love those who don't love us. And so let us now move to the washing of the feet. Let's pray to make sure that we remind ourselves of both Christ's help in the Eucharist, but also concretely, how have we given our lives to him, and how does he want us to serve each other?